Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Call me dog is good, please. Not
dog is perfect, man. I didn't want to overstep my boundaries.
Oh, it's good. Thank you.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And it's time for the highly anticipated Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling. Listen, three ducks walk into a bar. And the bartender says, well, what can I get for you? Well, what's your name, to the first duck? My name's Huey. And, what have you been doing all day, Huey? I don't know, I've been playing in puddles. Okay, bartender asks the next duck, well, what's your name? Well, I'm Louie. Okay, Louie. Huey and Louie. What have you been doing all day? Well, it's, been playing in puddles. Okay, and so this last one, your new name's Dewey, right? Is your name Dewey? And she goes, no, my name's Puddles. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right, I'm just going to thank Duff, and we'll move on from that one. But I always appreciate Mr. McKagan sending in those jokes every single week since 2017. I appreciate him, and I appreciate all of you who already bought your tickets to Fozzy's 25th anniversary tour starting October 3rd in Woodstock, Georgia. We're going to Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, New York before we wrap up this historic run in Cleveland, Ohio on October 21st. It is the first leg of this 25th anniversary tour. We are going to be doing a lot of shows over the next 18 months to celebrate a quarter of a century of the Foz. Dates and ticket information and VIP meet and greets all available at FozzyRock.com. Come celebrate Fozzy's 25th. Once again, ticket details at FozzyRock.com. And we're doing a short little Quarren tour with Quarantine, my 80s non-makeup Kiss tribute band. Our new song, Good Girl Gone Bad, just went top 40 on the SMR charts at number 38. We're going to keep on rolling, man. And also, we're doing some dates this summer. We'll be in Chesterfield, Michigan on July 5th. That's close to Detroit Rock City. Franklin, Ohio on July 6th. And, of course, Warrendale, Pennsylvania, close to Pittsburgh on July 7th. Ticket information and VIPs for that also at quarantine.com. That's quarantine with a K. All right, today on the show, I've got Dwayne Chapman making his Talk is Jericho debut. You know him better as Dog, the Bounty Hunter. He's got a brand new book called Nine Lives and Counting, A Bounty Hunter's Journey to Faith, Hope, and Redemption. It's available now wherever you buy books. It's all about his life. And we talk about that coming up from his time in prison to how he became a bounty hunter and then how he turned that job into a hit reality TV show that ran for 8 years on the A&E network. He shares some stories about his cases, including the one where he tracked down Max Factor Cosmetics heir Andrew Luster, who was convicted of rape and then fled the country Dog found in Mexico and brought him back. Dog talks about losing his wife, Beth, to cancer and how his faith has helped him through some of the hardest parts of his life. It's an interesting, maybe even a little bit of a surprising conversation. I know it wasn't what I was expecting, but it's a good one with Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter, and he's right here, right now on Talk is Jericho. One of the most interesting personalities from the last few decades, Dog the Bounty Hunter, is here with us. And there's so much to talk about with you, Dog. First and foremost, though, new book, Nine Lives and Counting. I like this, The Bounty Hunter's Journey to Faith, Hope, and Redemption. Now, you've written books before. What is different about this book from the other ones that you've done?
Well, the first one was 10, 11 years ago or so. It was my biography.
Right.
How I became a bounty hunter. What, you know, why my dog? How many have I arrested? What caused me? What started me? Stuff like that. So went from young to there. The second one was how, why do I show mercy? Mm-hmm. Shown mercy is given. And they rated very highly. So this one, when you do a Christian book, you can talk about your faith in Jesus. The Bible says, be all things to all men. So if it's not a Christian publishing company, you mix it up. Like you're trying to pour your beliefs down people that don't believe or what you believe's throat, right? Mm-hmm. In a Christian book, you get to lay it all out, especially this publishing company. So whether they, I'm sure they'll put a disclaimer, but whether they, at least God didn't put a disclaimer on me, but it's just easier to get it out there of your faith.
Well, it's interesting too, because you have such a crazy story over the years. Were you always a Christian? Were you always a believer? Is this something that just it kind of had struck you over the last few years?
No, I was raised in the Assemblies of God.
Mm.
And like in a really strict Assembly of God, as far as strict, we were church three times a week, and I had to stand up every other Wednesday and testify. I sang with my mother solos. She played the organ, piano. She was a Sunday school teacher. I'm like fifth generation on the women's side. Most of them were apostles in the church, right? And so I was raised like that. And then I knew when I was saying, yeah, God's too busy right now in Vietnam, or God's too busy over here, you know, I'm okay. I knew how to dodge. I was never lukewarm, because then he spits you out of his mouth.
Right.
I was a dodger. Before I woke up realizing in the last 5 years, really strong, I want to get into the supernatural.
Hmm.
I realized seeing the guys I've arrested, okay, 10,000, seen all personalities of all kinds. I have seen men that are absolutely, and women, demon possessed, would kill a child, cut their throat. I've arrested two of them.
Mm.
We all know that there's evil like that in this world. What's going on right now and all kind of thing is flat out evil. Mm. So if you flip a coin on the other side, has got to be miraculous miracles. If it's that bad evil where you could see these guys locked in insane asylums, they want to drink blood. What is that? Mental illness? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there has to be, and there is a side of miraculous miracles, believing. I mean, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The Bible says when you're a baby, you get the milk. As you get going, you get the meat. And it also says there's a narrow gate and a narrow road. So you don't go through a narrow gate. You barely slide through. So the book is going to explain that. If you look at a girl and think, whoa, man, she's beautiful. And then you hear, you lust her. You're not lusting unless you think past that to lust. I think the book will say some of the things, of course, nine lives and counting, how many lives I've had, times I've almost, you know, met the master, right? And thank God that I probably shouldn't say this, but I will say it. I'm glad this is not in the book. I prayed the other day, Lord, if I'm going to miss heaven, it's your fault. Because right now I'm jammed up, jelly tight.
Do you feel that there was some spiritual intervention in some of these cases that you worked on? Because you mentioned you've arrested so many criminals, so many evil people. Did you feel that you had God's spirit behind you for some of these, all of them, many of them?
Well, the network was not Pentecostal that filmed the show.
Right.
It's really cool. One of the greatest. There are several shows where I say, okay, pull over right now. And I bow my head and say, Lord, look, let's do this. You know, one time I said, you know, this show airs Thursday night and we're going to say a prayer right now. And you're going to look pretty bad if we don't catch the guy. And I really meant that, right? So we were literally at the show, reflects it as stop light. The guy walks in front of us and waves at me. We all jump him down, right? And he even put Jesus in the back seat. So, yeah, all the time. You know, Billy Graham's son said, listen, I love your show. Could you quit saying freeze mother effer and throwing him on the ground like that? And I go, I got to throw him on the ground. He goes, could you please do it, the mother effer? And I said, brother, if you say in Jesus' name and throw him on the ground, I'm not sure that works. And he goes, oh, I get it. And he starts to walk away and spins around and says, dog, have you ever tried that? And right then I started watching my language. I'm sure Jesus didn't cuss, but damn, it's hard not to, right?
Well, especially when you're in the heat of the moment with these people that are trying to probably kill you if you don't handle them properly.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, that was my way of life, but a lot of times it happens in other people's way of life. In other words, cuss words will not damn you to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of things in the book that gives you complete scriptures. Of course, it's written by my ghostwriter. She's outstanding. This was just a really good book. I'm sure, I'm positive. We used to do book signings all across the United States.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're driving a bus and stuff. We hit number one on New York Times bestseller. I didn't even know what that meant. That my manager said, what that means, your book goes on sale for half. As you know, you can't make a lot of money in book sales. Okay.
You're right, man.
My first book was put in all prisons. Okay. This guy made it. Mm-hmm. Now, this book, and it says at the very end, you know, I will be in heaven a lot, and this book will still be read. Every time someone turns their life to God, you can still do what you do. You can still do the hanky-panky. You can still do everything you can. There are just certain things you cannot do if you want to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not as hard as, my God, they're tough. It's a battle, but it's worth eternity. Just to hang in there. Every day is a battle. It's like AAA when they first started, one step at a time. And that's what it is here. One step at a time, sweet Jesus.
That's a cool thing, though. Like, I've written five books now, and every, you know, sometimes people go to a library and there's a Chris Jericho book in the library. It's like, that's pretty cool when you think about it on that level. That, like you mentioned, these books will be around forever.
Yes.
And that's kind of a big responsibility.
That's why, you know, the Christian book, it was time for that, where I could just lay it all on the line, because I don't like to talk about politics anywhere, because you lose friends.
Yeah.
Friends on both sides of whatever, three sides, 10 sides, yeehaw. So I don't like to talk about that, but I like to talk about church. We see there's so many guys telling me, and so many prophets, men and women, exactly what the Bible is says. You know, some of the things they found, the wheels, the Red Sea, the chariot wheels, they found so many things. The river Euphrates is drying up. That's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
There's one or two more things that's going to happen. And already the newspapers are writing aliens have abducted people because they know the rapture is coming. So, you know, the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Get ready. I'm ready to rumble. He said, I ain't coming down there to pussyfoot around. I'm drawing a sword in the set, taking a sword and drawing a line in the sand. And thee that want to go with me, take one step forward. So the book throws all that in there. You know, I get excited about it. I get, you know, some of it is heartbreaking. I couldn't even read it out loud. It was. I could read it to my author, my ghostwriter, but it's tough. I couldn't read it out loud. And then after you're done, you know, you've written a lot more than me. Did I say that? Right.
You mentioned that one of your other books was in the prisons, and you spent time in prison. Did you learn about God in prison? Did you preach in prison? Was that kind of part of your journey as well?
No, I went to prison in the 70s, 23 years old.
Yeah.
Should have done 5 years in a day, but only did 18 months for a crime that I did not commit. Now they know it.
Right.
You know, I was in with 86% from the Black tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So the education in Texas in the 70s for the brothers and sisters was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Third and fourth grade education. They didn't have money to ride the ferry across the river. So many stories, right?
Right.
They were all open to, you go in there, Jesus loves you. Yes, I know you're going to get shanked and beat down
right,
by all the white boys. But when you sang Amazing Grace in the fields and everybody's together, and okay, one day it was 7/7/77. I thought for sure the Lord is a coming.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was singing Amazing Grace, and it was like, man, he almost came.
Mm.
I was the inmate counselor. I was not the warden's chaplain and all that. But when someone's mother or father got killed and they were ready to go nuts on everybody, the warden would send me into, well, once in a while outside the cell, but mostly inside the cell, and say, okay, let me tell you what's going down here. And let me tell you why God does not kill. When the Bible says the thief cometh to kill, rob, and destroy, God doesn't have a closet in heaven called death.
Mm-hmm.
Devil killed. So those things I had to explain to the Texans in the 70s, and I became so insulated in there that I became warden's barber. You better not touch dog.
Hmm.
A guy ran from prison. I had to catch him, one of my best friends, because he had a death in the family. And when he went down on the ground, they threw handcuffs down and said, hook him up, bounty hunter. Hmm. So the bounty hunter in my mind was born, because I told God, I am done with this one percenter biker outlaw club. I'll tell you right now, I'll never ride a Harley again. I will never join an outlaw club again. I need out of here. I see I did wrong. My mom was right. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Okay. I'm never going to be probably a Bible thumper, but I am an evangelist and I'm a soldier and I'm on the front lines for God.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So bred inside me was that kind of guy that had gone bad and went good. So when I caught the guy, and then all of a sudden my name was from dog disciple, devil's disciple, went for to dog the bounty hunter. So ding, 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 bow, 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 ding, 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 got out. So I got out and I started right there. I went to the post office. I got the 10 most wanted list. I ordered my badge from the police supply store. My prison number is my badge number. I got everything non-lethal weapons. I got everything ready. And I went out and in 8 days, I caught one.
So you don't have to have like a license or anything.
You just in the 70s, oh. 80s and 90s. No,
gotcha.
I just went out there. If they're wanted on the federal computer or on the state computers, you can do that.
Gotcha.
And you got bounties from the bondsman, bounties from victims. That's how I did it. So when I came out of there, I started immediately. I'll never forget the day I stood out by the mailbox waiting for my badge. And then I dedicated that badge. And the Lord told me, everybody from now on that I bring to you was a reason I brought them. You can say that with everybody that reads this book is a reason they read it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a book. It's another reason I wrote this time my Christian book. I had a book and it was called The Cross of the Switchblade. As you know, by Nikki Cruz, David Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, you know, he's a gangbanger from the gang in New York. And always my mother would say, read that book. So 10 times as I grew up, did you read it? Yes. Did you read it? Yes. I went into Texas Penitentiary in 1977. And on the shelf was that book, Nikki Cruz, The Cross of the Switchblade. Believe me, brother, I read it. And I thought, why didn't I read this before this? Later in life, on TV, Dog the Bounty Hunter, I meet Nikki Cruz. I love him, right?
Hmm.
So I like trained from Tony Robbins and the Bible. Follow in success's footprints. You know, I love people following in mine. I love to do that. So that's how I knew God would take care of me and let me find everybody. And always find every single one. And that's why we're still doing it, because now it's getting crazier and it's more, you know, sexual assault on women and sexual assault on kids and beating up women and all that stuff. And we're having an influx of crime throughout the United States right now. And believe me, brother, it's going to get worse.
How many bounties have you gotten, do you think? How many people have you captured?
Well, I've captured all of us. I've captured over 10,000, but I don't do runaways. I mean, you see on the A&E show, right?
Right.
So you got a week to film a show. They got a budget, right? You got 8 camera guys, how many ever cameras, you know, the clock and the budget is running.
Mm-hmm.
You got a week to catch them. So every show I say, God, you know this, I got a week. Okay, now we got to do some things here. Sometimes I cut 2 and 3 and 4 a week. I don't know. I'm half Apache. I'm 33.5% Apache. So is the tracking in there, the discernment in there? That ain't from, I'm not sure, that except for God. All that stuff, I was born to be a bounty hunter, okay? In the Christian realm. I just can't, you know, there's a lot of guys in my business that beat up guys and go, I'm not dogging, you ain't hearing about Jesus. Good luck to you, buddy. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think I set an example, and it's all because of God. You know, the boxer gets done and he's done in the ring and he's like, oh man, we did it. We did it. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. That's how I am. I'm a friend that I ride now with the Christian Outlaw Motorcycle Club, Mike Servant.
Yeah.
And he ought to have him on your show, brother. He is the coolest guy, right? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. So you couldn't be like that in prison. But no, you had to watch what you said. You know, there were Christians. They got out, got killed. You know, they all went back, head of AA, got out. The best guy in prison got out of prison and got shot in a liquor store robbery. So when I got out, my mom let me live with her for a while. My dad did. And I got back into the word and back into promises. And that's when I was 3/4 good, like I said. 5-6 years now, my percent has got higher. I just had the book of Enoch. Have you ever read that?
I have not.
I wish I'd have put this in the book. I should have told my lady that helped me write it. It's not in the Bible, but it's a Bible book, right? Enoch was the grandson of Adam, and he walked with God, and God took his body, said, you don't have to die, come with me, gone. And I'm wondering, why isn't that in the Bible? So I did put some of this in my book. So absolute 9 lives means absolutely almost died or absolutely almost bit the dust and absolutely a miracle why it happened and how come I'm still here or how come that we're still loved or how come. And it's all supernatural power of God because I've made deals with him and said, you know, and I'm the worst sinner you could imagine, the worst Christian. I got to constantly repent constantly. Man, I fight a battle, brother. It makes me want to cry. But, you know, I'm hanging in there. You want to be able to hang in there too? Read this book. Because if you don't, I said it before, if you don't like it, don't read it. Give it away to someone. Somebody, I've had so many people say, dog, people of all ages, faiths, tribes, occupations, ages, like some of your stuff. So the book is for, I would believe, everybody.
So when you talk about 9 lives, is there some examples of times where you thought that you were going to be a goner and you squeaked out of it?
Well, yeah, I've been shot once, twice. I've been shot at many times.
Right.
12.
Jeez.
Way back when we were devil's disciples, my brother and I, Paul, was just talking about that, how the Lord has saved us two out of all of them. So, yeah. Yes.
What's the, like, I mean, obviously you mentioned that you and your team have collected 10,000 bounties. What's kind of like, not the secret, because I don't want you to, there probably is no secret, but what is kind of your method for catching these people? Because I'm sure a lot of them are pretty slippery and pretty hard to catch.
You learn by wisdom and knowledge, okay? As you could turn in your 50s, you get it from God, this wisdom and knowledge that is incredible. So that what I got and I used it for was bounty hunting. For instance, I take guys in the Bible that did things, I get the same treatment. Solomon, king. God said, what you like the most? Give you anything, millions of women, gold, what do you like? He said, you know what, Lord, I want knowledge. God said, oh, that's pretty good. So I want to live like that. I want knowledge after when I was 50, and I want to be able to see where they're at. I can look at a mugshot sometimes and say, he's going to be driving in a car. Now, I do this on TV, and they don't give me no script. We were the real only reality show besides Ozzy and Sharon. They didn't give her no scripts either. And she mentored me in the very beginning.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ozzy believes in Jesus, by the way. So, and so did the whole family. And Jack's my friend. They wrote my song for me, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
That's right. Yeah, he did the theme song, right? Yeah.
God provided all these people with the wisdom to teach me. And then I said, God, and said the prayer, right? I need to find this guy. No one else can. No one else will. They won't treat him right.
Right.
So I got to take him down hard. But once I get him secure, then he's all Jesus's.
Let's talk about one of your most famous cases. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but the one that's really interesting to me is talking about Andrew Luster, of course, the Max Factor heir. There was a whole story behind you catching him and capturing him, almost an international incident that happened because of that.
Yes, the judge, you know, we arrested him, 89 counts of rape, 87, whatever. We got arrested there, taking him to the police department. The judge had mercy on us, gave us a misdemeanor, and we took off.
Right.
We got across the United States a few months later. The United States arrested all of us for misdemeanors. Now, this is a misdemeanor we got charged with, but we were charged with misdemeanor bail jumping or whatever they decided to say it. And I was $300,000 bond. Now, you can't get, that's like a misdemeanor is like DUI.
Yeah.
Action kind of misdemeanor, not driving, but you can't put someone from Texas to Oklahoma. You can't cross the state line. It's illegal
mm-hmm.
to arrest somebody for a misdemeanor in another state, let alone another country, right?
Right.
So then Judge Panetta, my friend, who realized what I did, said, oh, you like that stuff? You're going to do dog like that, make him write bail, put a bond and come back down here. They're going to extradite me back there. So he goes, here, get a load of this, America. We drop all charges.
Hmm.
So many huge percent of Mexico are Catholic Christians. And they have what's called morality. Okay. 87, 89 counts of rape. Come on, bro.
Right.
As long as you didn't kill him or hurt him or none of that, you got him. And I happened to, you know, God led us through that. And I happened to tell the judge, listen, we found him with a girl, you know, in a bar. Scheming on Latina girls. So I told him he's down here raping your kids too, probably. He was giving them the GHB drug where they completely pass out and then having sex with them and filming it. Crazy.
So what did you get the misdemeanor for?
For grabbing him in the middle of the street. We grabbed him, headed to the police department.
Wow.
They arrested. It started out with kidnapping, right?
Right.
Until they saw the warrants. And, you know, I couldn't speak Spanish fluently, but he could. So he was telling the cops, no, they grabbed me. They want to kill me. They robbed me. And the cops are, da, 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 and finally I had this big book. And I was telling the cops, look at the book. And they started looking through it. And like, they took us all to jail. Within a few hours, the FBI from California was picking up Luster. But we had to stay. And then the judge, a misdemeanor bond, $300. Come on.
Right.
$375. American, Mexican money, whatever it was. So what? It wasn't over, you know, $500. So if that went, what is that? $300,000 bond
mm-hmm.
compared to that. So the, you know, that portion of the government, whoever did all that, was very upset at us. And the FBI wasn't upset. You know, they always said that, well, how does people would go to him and go, how come dog does that? How come he can grab a felon out of his house and drag him to jail? The FBI said, you know what? This is back in the day. They said, we don't know, but he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
What else he prays for? I mean, they said. So that is true. So the nine lives or nine things, mostly somehow almost lost my life. Some the career, some imagine this, right? Devil's Disciple, sister of the Hell's Angel Club, convicted of first degree murder, gangland stuff. Didn't go in the house, inside the house. All of us convicted except, you know, one guy went in of us.
Mm-hmm.
Shot the guy accidentally, died the next day. All of us fall for first degree murder. So from that in Texas now, okay? Death chair Texas in the 70s.
Sure.
Old Sparky.
Yeah.
All of us being long-haired hippies.
Bikers, yeah.
All us, but we were bikers. We're telling them we ain't no hipster. We're bikers. That right there, convicted, set down there like that. Goodbye, see you forever, right? And then to come out and later in life meet Tony Robbins and Martin Sheen and the Osbournes and, you know, hanging in there with Jesus, man, what are you doing, Lord? What are you doing, Lord, right? And going and now having, being Dog the Bounty Hunter with the successes that we've had. all because of God. How could it? There's no way. Without a divine intervention, the Christians call it. I call it a miraculous miracle that this could have happened. Did I think about I wanted to? Yes. Do I think if you do this and you do that under the umbrella of God, are you going to be okay? Yes. Then you start getting it. The sun, you don't need the umbrella anymore. It's not raining that much. And you put it down a little bit. And then all of a sudden it freaking pours on you. I got sick of that. I could stop somebody else from, you know, having to go through the ups and downs, the waves and da, da, da. It's very hard, but it ain't as hard as going to hell.
Last few things about this luster thing. What was it with the Mexican government that was so angry with you? Was it a political thing or was it a?
No, I already had the show with people say it launched me into stardom. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it did. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Right. The title was on the line for the greatest bounty hunter in the world. Mm-hmm. All these bounty hunter guys were trying to have TV shows. I finally got lucky through God and insisted on saying in Jesus' name in the show. And they said yes. And again, that network was not Pentecostal.
Right.
It was on. I had to catch him. God, I got to prove it. I am the best. Tony Robbins, all the training to be the best. I used to speak with him. He would say, you got to find who the best is in the world and go after that record. There was no best bounty hunter in the world.
Right.
So I had to set all the standards for it. And laws I helped with. Can't just beat them up. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't just bust in the house unless you've seen the guy or you got someone wired that says, I'm sitting in here and it's him.
Oh.
I helped with that, all godly stuff. Even though some guys are going to hell like that, some, not just for the law, but for both sides. It was good stuff that God directed me into doing.
Mm-hmm.
So no one will ever be able to capture. The record is set for life. Leland's at about 5,000 now, though.
Mm, that's your son.
Baby Lisa's doing it once in a while with my old manager, Rainey. We're all still, the kids are still, Gary Boy. He just wrote the greatest little Easter thing about Jesus today. Mm-hmm. So they're all, you know, thank God getting under the umbrella of the Lord. So
when you started, you know, your show starts taking off, Dog the Bounty Hunter, everybody knows you. Did that help you with Bounty Hunter? Did that hinder you? Because now you're a public figure. Did that some of the guys that you're chasing after see you and turn the other way because they recognize you now?
It actually helped because people see who I am on TV and believe me. If I tell you I'm going to give you $5,000, I'm making 25, I'm going to give you $5,000. Where is he?
Mm-hmm. Ah, I gotcha.
And they see me do it. So they know that I'm not just jiving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help the guy. Who you rather them capture? A cop that is, you know, some cops are. You ain't having a cigarette. Shut up. The cuffs too tight. All that. Or you want me? Still cuffs tight. Here's a cigarette. Let me tell you, your mama loves you. What'd you do wrong? Let's go back to that. I did it too. Who'd you rather go with? People trust me. When I get information from them, it's usually right because of what's going to happen. They're going anyway.
Right.
They're going to jail. So just before they go to jail, and I'm sorry, you know, I'm not a Buddhist and I'm not a, you know, blah, blah, blah. I believe in Jesus died for our sins, the Son of God. So I'm going to talk to him about that. I've never had but one guy, co-signer, parent, all that, or a defendant say, shut up. I don't want to hear it. Even that one guy, God brought him to me. Years ago, God said, listen, I'm going to help you write this book. Get you a good author. I'm going to show you that circumstances that you thought were circumstances were my miracles. Man. And I put some in that book. And like I said, I'm reading it again. I'm like, God, did I say this? Thank God I dodged that, went right. So, and God will do that. Once we have the knowledge and we use it in our way, that's what I want to spread. Now, say there is a heaven and all this is real. Say that Jesus died. He is coming back. Say that when you die, you got to, your spirit goes up like a light out of your body and you got to go for what you did. And he knows your heart. I know that my heart was not good. And my mother said, you start saying in Jesus' name and pretend it is.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's in the book. So here's how to do this. You know, if there's not a heaven and all that, we just die and forget it all.
Right. But it's worth a try, right? Just in case, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's, you know, and then the older you get, okay. And you'll see you're a lot younger than me, but the older you get, you're like, oh man, yes. And that's when you have to convey those thoughts and facts to the younger generation so they don't have to go through that.
Let me ask you this, Dog, when you know, kind of the how bounty hunting actually works. So you mentioned, you know, you find, let's say, a top 10 wanted list. Does each court put up a reward for bringing this person into justice, or how does that all work as far as, you know, different levels of what you're getting to bring these guys in?
If a bail bondsman has a bond, you get a bounty from him for saving him.
Gotcha.
You save him about 80%. So then a victim, like I've had whole parks, all the neighborhood hire me to come down and find a rapist.
Oh, I see.
Somebody with a felony, you can arrest anybody with a felony in America. Somebody with a felony like that, if, you know, I get requests or I get a lot of times, you know, at times we got paid, not very many. We never got paid for luster. But
oh wow,
the Lord will drop it basically in our lap. Boom, right? Here it is. We need you to, and then the people will call, we need you to pray. And they know what gets me going and what, you know, it's just, I don't know. Something happens and I'm like, uh-oh, we got to go get this guy. And a lot of news now with Fox, we do a lot of Fox News. We do a lot of, you know, we do a lot of that. And they're allowing me to use Jesus' name and, you know, say the things how I believe and all that. It is getting more accepted. If the other side, evil side, I call it, you hate the evil, love the person. If that's getting more accepted, so is the supernatural side. So you pimp that, I'll pimp this. Nine lives and counting.
Let's talk about one of the other high profile cases that you were working on. You actually write about it in the book, talking about Brian Landry and Gabby Petito. How did you get involved with that? And how did you kind of, what did you discover and kind of lead us through that story?
Well, we got involved for several reasons. It's a long story.
Mm.
But so we're doing the honeymoon. Didn't realize I was 100 miles away.
Oh, wow.
I had so much pressure. You know, I lost a daughter at the same age. So much pressure from fans. Dog, you got to go. Francie prayed about it and said, let's go. It's the guy's honeymoon too, but it's usually for the girl. Right,
right. Right.
So she went with me, was up to her waist in sand and ocean. She said, I wanted the sand and the ocean, and I didn't mean gators and stuff, honey. You know, we did really good investigating. We do. We know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
4 years. This ain't 48 hours where you go in and lock somebody in a room, make them confess, and then clap about it.
All right.
So we did good investigation. It's a 50-50 shot. He's dead. It is getting ready to close right now, the court. So right after it does, we're putting our footage out, what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And all these bounties I've done, with the bounty comes an investigation. You just can't go outside to sniff and say, which way is he, Lord? You got to do your due diligence.
Right, of course.
Find out everything. You got to investigate everything about that person, everything. So you investigate to be able to capture. So your investigation will lead you to, and then me at my prayer and asking God to show me and what's happening. It works almost every, well, so far every time.
Well, but you found evidence of Landry though, didn't you?
Well, I don't want to say too much about it. I could
gotcha.
Still on, but I'll say what I can. We found different camps where he was, found that his sister was lying and had him in the car that day at the campground. Then we found that, you know, what they found was a gun shot on the left side. He's right-handed, a piece of a skull and a jaw.
Hmm.
And, you know, the hogs would ate him, blah, blah, blah. They don't say it's an Indian burial ground. I talked to the Indians that are down there, and it almost every time when the water goes down, bones are found.
Right.
One thing about it, if he's alive, the 100-page report from the FBI, usually there's 450 report. This is 100. Does it say nothing? The feds just spent so much money looking for him.
Right.
They've only got so much money, just like with A&E, you've got so much money per show. You got to have some kind of discerning Christian to see what's happening in that way. It's got to be some a man of God or a woman of God or somebody with discernment. Or
well, I mean, once again, it's I love the fact that you did this while you're on your honeymoon. That's pure dedication. Yeah. There has there been one case that was the most difficult for you to capture and you really had to work extra hard to do so and pray extra hard to make it happen and then finally did get your man or woman in the end?
Well, Luster was the, you know, number one of the biggest there was.
Gotcha.
Everyone thought he was in Thailand. So we were hunting there, right? And so everyone thought here, two witnesses had seen him there. I knew that this was all not right. So one thing, I got out on the beach by myself and I asked God, I'm going to spin around and around in a circle. Where I point is where he's at. I stopped pointing. I did not know Hawaii and Mexico are on the equator, a straight line. So then I called someone I'll never tell on and said, Pedro, I can't tell you where he's at, but I can tell you one thing. He speaks Spanish. The clues from God kept coming, right?
Right.
My mother used to make me sing the song, This Little Light of Mine, but I'm going to let it shine. When the limo picked me up to go get Luster, I looked up and started singing that song. And I knew for sure. Wow. And then we got put in jail and a grain of mustard seed. We're going to be out. Don't worry. We're charging you 20 years of kidnapping.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh no, guys, don't worry. I'm telling you, you know, we learned about the sand and the gullet from the turtle comes back home. And the Bible says, my sons, my children, that the grain of a mustard seed is a lot bigger than the grain of a sand. Just right now, we're going to not be charged with a felony. The lawyer came back. He's like, I got to tell you something. Here's the bad news. Ooh, what? Your bond is 300 pesos. And the good news, it's a misdemeanor, deprivation of liberty. Oh my God, this little lad of mine. I mean, it's like, that's not circumstantial. You know, I don't even know if they have a statute of limitations there, so I'm not going to say. But that's the circumstances were from God. So the book reflects on a lot of that stuff. Why? And knows that I'm not just saying this, okay? Would I make a lot of money when I say it in the book? I have two haters right now. I'll probably develop more. But I got to get it out there. You know, it's what God has put me on earth. And again, you five books plus you probably do another one. That's what you do. That's a good thing. Thank God books are selling a little bit better than they were a couple of years ago. But I guess COVID brought the books up a little bit, but you couldn't go anywhere and buy any.
How was it for you? You know, you're a very, you know, strong-willed guy. When you were put in the public eye and you mentioned people criticize you and you see, you know, criticism towards you and what you do, did that affect you? Did you take it with a grain of salt? Did you react to it?
No, you completely do. You know, if you're a celebrity, allegedly, a celebrity is someone who they celebrate. You celebrate the person for what they do. So I'm a bounty hunter. I don't have good language. See, I used to have really terrible slang. You know, I'd say every slang word there was to do with every kind of nationality because I was a half-breed Peckerwood Indian. You can't say that stuff like that. So mostly through my mouth, you know, in the old saying, open mouth, insert foot. But then, God, you know, I'm so sorry. God said, I told you to shut up, not to say that. I know, but I thought it'd be funny. Well, you didn't listen to me. Now look at this. And then through this thing, you know, say it right out, the N-word 17 years ago, I happened to, 2017, receive the Martin Luther King Award. So I know, dog, the disciple could have done that. I'm in his church, bruh, speaking where he stood. The power of God rocking New York. People singing all over there. It's his birthday. They give me that award up there. Whoa.
Yeah.
So you just got to, you know, fight through the crap. Don't read your comments that are bad.
That's the truth.
But I once in a while get in and see a few and I want to just.
You want to go knock on their door.
Yeah.
And, you know, bounty hunt them.
My hurt feelings is I get violent.
Yeah, right.
We're soldiers. You hurt our feelings, we're going to bust you up.
I know as we start to wind down here, Dog, you obviously, you know, you're married now with Francine, but for Dog the Bounty Hunter, Beth was with you. She passed away. How did your faith deal with that? And was she of the same belief as you? Did that kind of help get through that situation?
She was of the same belief. When someone passes away like that, everyone's faith is challenged.
Yeah.
It takes through the mourning, through your mourning period, you're like, this didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the longer and longer you go and see why it happened. Why did that really happen? And you go, oh my God. So there's a time to mourn, and that's what the Bible says. And it's right after that. But God says, I will bring it back to you. There's so many scriptures. I will do this for you. I will do that for you. I will do this. Don't worry. Do that for me. I'll do this for you. Keep going. Keep going. And one day when you get here, you'll see why your puppy, your mama, your wife, your baby girl, why they had to go with me right then.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, we show how to, you know, say how to handle that. There's nothing for a time you can say or do.
Right.
There's a time to grieve.
Last few things, Dog. I mean, you had such a long run with all your various shows. Is there any plans to do more? Do you want to do more? Kind of what do you have going on at this point?
Well, we want to do, yes. Well, the networks have different rules now for when I was doing it. No headlocks, da-da-da.
What's that? No headlocks, you said?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, no chokeholds. Well, we won't get into politics.
Gotcha.
But no chokehold, gotcha. Which is not a headlock is not a chokehold, but you never know.
Right.
Guy slips out, you got to put him around his neck. There's a way to put him to sleep. You don't do that. 9 minutes on the ground of any human being, you should be in jail.
I got you what you're saying. I understand.
Whether someone dies of that or dies of there's dope in you and you're freaking out because you think you're dying of choking, caca, sayonara, copper.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to take them down. So we got new non-lethal weapons that will knock a horse down, but won't kill a man.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Bible says that vengeance is mine. I will repay. So if someone does something to me, I'm not going to shoot them and I'm not going to tase them. I'm not going to pepperball them. But if someone does something else to a man, a woman, especially, or a child, double, I am taking them out. That's my ordained job given to me from God.
What rules do you have legally? Like, you're a bounty hunter. Now, obviously, I'm sure, like you mentioned, the 70s, you just buy a badge and you do it. Now I'm sure you have whatever license you need. Is there some sort of limitations from a physical standpoint of what you can or can't do to defend yourself when you're trying to bring these people in?
Well, the law says that when you're registered, certified, legalized, all the things I am, that you have to be a bondsman. So I'm still a bondsman in Hawaii. Here's the law. The person may be arrested, and whatever, if you're arresting him under a felony warrant, whatever force he uses against you, you can double or do that against him. When you give him orders on the ground and he don't get there, you are allowed to take him down. Cuff him, then start booting his head in. You're going to jail for assault.
Gotcha.
It's exactly what a cop is. It's the law says there's no new warrant given to you. You are acting as the sheriff of the county.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in within seconds, got him, get him down, boom, boom. Then you're a citizen. You already got him. So that's how I train, and God trained my mind. Get him, go after him, get him. You got to get him. Once you got him, stop. Okay. Now start talking about me. Start talking about how I changed your life. Start doing this. Start doing that. Not just the adrenaline, but we got to get out there to do. Francie and I are traveling in a lot of different churches with my sister, Katie Souza. So we're doing that. We're doing prisons. We're doing things, right? But to get out there in bounty hunting is still my favorite sport. It is a sport, you know.
Was your crew ever in danger, like a cameraman or anything like that? Because you're like you said, it's a reality show that's real, and you're chasing some bad dudes, man.
Oh, we had, let's say, 16 cameramans till we picked out the 4 and 5, because so many cameramans ran. One guy threw his camera down and said, "This ain't worth it." Filipino Roy, who was our sound man, got bit by a pit bull and hung right in there. Bah, 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 bah. I hit it with this in the side all the way down. With a pepper ball gun, it let him go. oh, there's so many guys fill out of cars trying to jump in. We're taking off, right? Yeah, they were tall, tough, and crazy. Nowadays, you know, back then, 5 years ago, there weren't the cell phone quality that there is now. So you had to have those cameras, not the big one, but the other one, their shoulders all day were just ruined. Nowadays, you can hold it up, right?
Right.
They didn't have that. They were GoPros were just coming in from Hawaii. The guy, my friend, developed them a couple of years. They weren't as quality as today, man. And you should, not to get away from Nine Lives of Counting, you should and must film everything and everywhere you go.
What's the most dangerous situation you've ever been in bringing in somebody?
Well, there you can't say just one. They're all dangerous. So,
right.
Of course, the crazy ones have a gun, girl or guy. Usually we've always seen the gun or God has said, here's, you know, watch this guy's packing. So it usually people with firearms, of course, are the most dangerous. Drug addicts, that where the father will say, I told a dad once a kid had a gun, will he use the gun on me? And the dad said, dog, it all depends on what the drug tells him to do.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You constantly got to stay prayed up. It's not like a Marine or an Army guy or a real hero where you could say, you got to be ready to die at any second. You do there. Bounty hunting is dangerous, but you, as long as you're running the narrative and God's running the show and you're asking God, what should you do? Show me right now what's going down. Show me right now where is he? Show me his what neighborhood. Show me where to go. That's bounty hunting. That's, you know, it's different than being a Marine, Army,
right,
all the services and almost having to die for your country and that flag.
Last question for you, dog. What's your favorite Bible verse? Do you have one?
Oh, I knew you might say that. It used to be Jesus wept, not because it's the shortest, but I'd cry a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know that he had a heart like that. And then I find out the other day, you know, I'm constantly finding stuff out from my Francie too. The man that came up to him and asked him, he had a lot of money. He was really rich. I didn't know this. I thought the guy walked up to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, listen, bro. And the guy said, I do everything right. I give to the church. I do all this. And he goes, Lord, what do I have to do? And Jesus said, well, come with me. Because I have a lot of friends and I cry with them because I don't, you know.
Right.
Francis said, no, he was a rich guy that had all these things and he could have been the 13th disciple.
Hmm.
And, you know, Jesus said, go sell everything. Come on, bro. Let's go for a ride.
Right.
Like, no. And Jesus cried because he knew what that person could have meant. I've said another reason I like that is, Lord Jesus, again, I repeat, please don't ever have to cry for me because if I go to hell, it's your fault. Stop trying.
Well, dog, it's been great talking to you, man. Nine lives and counting. What a great conversation and what a great message that you're telling here. I love it.
Thank you. Send us some of your books through Giggles. Let me see some.
I will. I will for sure, man. Motivational books.
Yes. Aloha. Tim Story. Tony Robbins.
Aloha, dog. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.